In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have three aspects of the Christian life that are highlighted by Jesus, and we have a picture for each of these, so we can picture and illustrate in our own mind what that aspect of the Christian life is. And these three aspects of the Christian life are, first of all, repentance and forgiveness. And we have before us a picture of a millstone. Then we have faith and planting. And we have the picture of a small mustard seed. And then we have the picture of service and duty. And that's a picture of plowing a field, shepherding sheep, waiting on tables at a dinner. Sometimes we need to sit back and just look at these aspects of our Christian life and just examine ourselves and see, how am I doing when it comes to repentance and forgiveness, faith and planting, service and duty? And that's what Jesus does today. On this National LWML Sunday, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, their theme this year is People of God in the Word. In the Word of God, which sustains us, and to which we draw our attention this morning. So let's briefly look at all three aspects, which are printed on the back of your bulletin for aid of memory. And the first is repentance and forgiveness. When we talk about repentance and forgiveness, the first picture Jesus gives us is, in a way, a negative picture. It's a picture of a millstone. A millstone was a large stone that weighed about 100 pounds and had a hole in the center of it. And the stone was placed over a post, and it was often attached to a donkey who would turn the millstone around and around all day long, and it would grind the grain down to be used for the flour for the wheat. Jesus indicates that if people will tempt other people and will not repent and will not forgive other people and will delude people instead, he said it'd be better if a millstone was hung around that person's neck, which is very heavy, and they were cast into the sea to sink to the bottom. Now, this, of course, is a negative picture. It's Jesus warning us that, as he said, temptations to sin will come, but woe to the one who causes these little ones to fall away from the faith, meaning children or people who are new in the Christian faith. If people tempt and delude and cause to sin these little ones, Jesus said it'll be better for that person in view of the coming judgment if they had a millstone around his neck and they were thrown into the depths of the sea. Now this picture, which is in a sense a negative picture and is a warning, gets our attention. And so Jesus definitely gets our attention with this picture of a millstone, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to go down to the bottom of the sea with a millstone around my neck. Do you? No, we don't. So Jesus immediately says, okay, now pay attention. Now that he's got our attention, and he says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins seven times and repents, then forgive him seven times a day. Jesus is saying, now, not only do you not want to tempt others to sin, you also want to forgive when people come and repent of the wrongs they've done, so that repentance and forgiveness will then be the whole aspect of your daily life. This picture is a beautiful picture, that if your brother comes to you and says, I'm so sorry, I've sinned against you, you readily say, I forgive you, even if it's seven times a day. And this is the point Jesus is making. Repentance of my own sins, forgiving other people when they repent, is so much a part of our life that we're not keeping count. When he says seven times a day, he just means you are continually forgiving, no matter how many times people sin against you. You forgive them. And why do you forgive them? Because God in Christ has forgiven you. Jesus didn't have a millstone around his neck. He had a cross around his neck. That cross which crushed him with our sins on Good Friday, that hung on his neck. He who was drowned, if you will, by our sins, now God accounts us righteous, forgiven, so that we repent of our sins, and God himself, in his Son Jesus Christ, says to you from the cross, since I died in your place and had the cross around my neck, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus, seven times a day and many times more, forgives you your sins each day. And so we are called to lives of repentance and forgiveness. For Christ Jesus has promised us life and grace and mercy and peace, as Paul said. We have a sincere faith because we know the gift of God, forgiveness, the power to forgive, love and self-control. Repentance and forgiveness every day for ourselves and for others. The second aspect of Christian life Jesus talks about is faith and planting. And this is a picture of a tiny mustard seed. Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, which is a small seed which grows to a large bush, this small seed, he says, is a picture of faith. If you had even faith like that, you could say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Not only do our lives show repentance and forgiveness, they should also show faith, planting faith in God's kingdom. So if we're going to have a life of forgiveness, then how do we have a life of faith? The disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith, Lord, we want more faith. And Jesus said, if you had this kind of faith, even like a mustard seed, you could do great things. After all, with God, nothing is impossible. If you want forgiveness in your life, you look to Christ on the cross, and there you find it. And there you have the power to forgive others. If you want more faith, you also must have your eyes on Jesus and not on yourselves. Increasing our faith means the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, is the one that we focus our lives on. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus is the tree in the bush that has grown in God's kingdom like a mustard seed that has become this great plant. And we are like birds that dwell in the branches of Christ. When Habakkuk said that the righteous shall live by faith, when we say, Lord, increase our faith, we who are baptized into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we who hear that our sins are forgiven each week and come to receive Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood, our faith is increased not by focusing on our faith, but focusing on Jesus, the object of our faith. Jesus Christ has proven that you can trust him. He died in your place. He's risen from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of God. He's coming again in glory. The reason we can have great faith is that the object of our faith can be trusted. Did you know that is the key to faith? You may say, I wish I had greater faith. I don't have much faith. But God said, I will increase your faith, not when you constantly talk about faith, but when you talk about Jesus. And when the object of your faith is your Lord Jesus Christ, who's not only your Savior, but your best friend, the more you look at Jesus, the more faith you will have. That is why the Divine Service on Sunday morning is filled with scripture lessons and songs and words that speak about Christ. The more of Christ that you have, the more faith you will have. Our Lord Jesus Christ has caused us to have faith, created faith in our heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, and small things can have great effect. As was mentioned this morning concerning LWML, when we have the mite boxes, as those pennies, dimes, and nickels, and quarters do great things in God's kingdom, He can take small things like a mite and help countless people. I noticed this week on the LWML website, the many different countries that these mites, which begin small but do great things, helping in Tanzania, India, Africa, Latvia, Lithuania, Dominican Republic, Peru, North Korea, China, and then that faraway country from which I came, Ohio. Our Lord Jesus Christ takes small gifts and does great things in His kingdom. Repentance and forgiveness. Faith and planting ourselves in Christ Jesus' kingdom. And the last picture in conclusion, service and duty. This last picture, as we went from a millstone to a mustard seed, is plowing like a farmer, shepherding like a shepherd, and waiting tables like a waiter and waitress in a restaurant. Service and duty. A farmer plows a field so he can plant and have a harvest. That's his work. A shepherd keeps the sheep, but the pasture and water, so there can be sheep. A waiter or waitress waits on tables to serve food and drink, to serve the master. Our lives are called for service and duty. We are called to be servants, doing simply what we were commanded in our daily vocation and calling. And we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty to do. Because we're both sinner and saint, we take no special credit for carrying out our vocation as husband, wife, father, mother, worker, employer, or employee. Whether we plow or shepherd or wait on tables, it is our joy to carry on our daily vocation and calling. God the Father and Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit has filled you with power and called you into His kingdom to a holy calling for His purpose. And that holy calling began with Jesus Himself, who is the one who has shepherded us, His sheep, and made you one of His lambs. He is the one who has plowed the field, the farmer who sowed the seed of the Word of God in your heart. And He is the one who waits upon us, who washed the disciples' feet, and gives us His body and blood in the sacrament. Jesus Christ enables you to serve and do your duty joyfully. And what is so beautiful about service in God's kingdom is it's the little things that count. The word of kindness, the cup of water, the bit of food that you give someone, the small things matter in God's kingdom. And you know, as a longtime Christian, many of you, that the joy is in the service itself. Carrying out our duties joyfully, knowing that we are unworthy servants. We've only done joyfully what was our duty to do. So my friends, since our Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death, as Paul said, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, we can never be ashamed to do the humble things in God's kingdom because we are convinced that He's guarding us to that day of Christ's return. We have the pattern of sound words that we confessed in the creed this morning. The good deposit of faith and hope and love is in your heart through the Holy Spirit. May you rejoice today that you can live lives of repentance and forgiveness. That you can live a life filled with faith and planting yourself in God's kingdom in His holy word. And that you can joyfully serve and do your duty in God's kingdom. For we have done those things Christ has called us to do. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.